You're listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. You can find out more about the resource and construction industry, including how to communicate consciously with your stakeholders at resourceindustrymedia.com.au.
Welcome to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. I'm Kieran Moran, Managing Director of Resource Industry Media. The Connecting Industry Podcast series is designed to tell the stories of the people who work in the resource and construction sector throughout Australia. It's our goal for these podcasts to not only keep you up to date with the latest resource and construction news, information and procurement opportunities, but most importantly, build relationships between you and our guests so you can connect with their stories and get a better understanding of how to communicate and tell your business story right. On this week's Connecting Industry Podcast, we have Aaron Schultz, Director of Outback Mine. Aaron originally worked supplying labour to civil construction and mining companies throughout Australia for 15 years before founding Outback Mine. Outback Mine offers wellbeing solutions to men predominantly working in the resource and construction sector to help them manage anxiety and stay healthy in mind, body and spirit, including practical advice and self-management solutions that promote pathways to better mental health. Welcome, Aaron, to the program.
Thank you very much for having me along, Kieran. Pleasure.
So let's. I do start a lot of these podcasts with starting at the beginning, but as the introduction just said there, so you worked within the supplying labour and civil construction to mining companies throughout Australia for 15 years before founding Outback Mine. So let's go back to there. What were you doing in that sector in supplying labour?
Yeah, I originally started with Skilled, probably the most famous labour hire provider in Australia. That was probably the original organisation which sort of brought labour hire to Australia back in the 60s. And they engaged me to do a role for them in Victoria, which I did for a few years before moving to Tasmania. And basically, I connected really strongly with the civil construction providers and suppliers down there, and also some construction companies as well. So I had a role, a duty to be able to find the labour solutions that they needed, work closely with industry bodies, and also to be able to bring good quality guys into the workplace to be able to use that as a platform where employees could sort of check out an individual, make sure they were the right fit for their teams, and then be able to integrate them in as full-time employees. So I really was exposed to it quite early on, a real sort of concern for health and safety, but there was never really anything about psychological safety or employee well-being, in conversations back then. And I sort of knew in the early 2000s that there was a real missing link with regards to keeping people, mentally well inside and outside the workplace. And, if someone did have something going on in their lives, they were not sort of treated really well, or they had, pretty degrading conversations with employers about toughening up and all those sorts of things, but we never really understood what was going on with an individual outside the workplace. And I saw a lot of good guys that were, turning to drugs and alcohol and all those sorts of things as interventions. I had a really good relationship with the people that I had working with me from interview all the way through to, placing them and being associated with them on the projects and job sites, and had good relationships with the supervisors and foremen with construction companies. So they trusted me with supplying them with the right people, but also the guys on the ground, knew that they felt supported rather than just, given a job and that was it. So I sort of knew that there was a huge gap back then. I got burnt out myself basically in 2009. I had a lot of guys working for me throughout the country, for about 400, I think, altogether. I was trying to juggle lots of balls and not sleeping and really got burnt out. And it really took me to a place of contemplating suicide myself, because I didn't want to be seen as being weak or someone that was unable to cope, So I had a bit of a light bulb moment there, and luckily I didn't take that course of action. But from there, things transformed. Worked for I got out of labour for a little while, worked for a national construction precast provider for a few years, helping them in Tasmania, and then got back into my own business with labour hire. So we were flying guys out of Tasmania to fill resource industry shortages in the mining industry around Moranbah, Mackay, and sort of further out West Queensland. So I had a bit of a relationship with Queensland back then. before moving out of the state and starting the Outback Mine in about 2017, which I'm just about to set up as a foundation. So it's been more of a way of giving back to me, but now we want to be able to provide skills and knowledge to workplaces and individuals, and also to be able to provide funding back into applying, I suppose, education into regional centres and regional communities where it's most needed, but also on job sites as well.
Well, before we do get into a little bit of Outback Mind and so forth and what you do, you said there in relation to your Edgehone issues and sort of self-discovery within mental health and so forth, and you're already, as you described there, you already saw it in the sector as well in relation to some of the issues that the men were having. But with your own, and you also said there about the light bulb moment, so within your own light bulb moment, how did that sort of wake you up to some of those issues a little bit closer to home?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I went to a doctor to get some help, and he gave me two options. He said you can either take tablets or you can exercise. So that night I went home. We lived in a rural area in Tasmania where we never got junk mail. There was a slip in the mailbox to say the first 24-hour gym in Australia was going to open in Hobart. So I quickly joined up and I got in there at 4 a.m. Every morning pretty much for 6 months. And started to turn my body around, turn my life around, and a lot of the stress and so forth started to disappear. But also a lot of the blocked thinking that I had, a lot of the traumas that I had as a young person started to become or come to the surface. So that sort of gave me the ability to be able to move through a lot of the blockages that I'd had, and some of the doubt, the self-doubt, and things that I had within my own headspace, and to be able to move through that. So that was the foundation for it all. And you know, from that period on, sort of started to pursue other athletic pursuits and got myself really fit, and then started to compete and do all these sorts of things that I'd never been able to do before because I'd been too busy working, you know. So work had dominated a large part of my life, but I was actually starting to find some enjoyment in physical activity and starting to, you know, sort of challenge myself a little bit, which sort of took me... fast-track things a little bit, took me into learning meditation and learning yoga and those sorts of things, which I can use to keep my body and mind in reasonable condition and also keep myself more resilient of stress and anxiety and those sorts of things, which once dominated my life.
So, of course, that's led you into Outback Mind. So how did you – so, of course, mental health is a big issue, and it's been raised more and more, and it's taken a long time to get where it is, and it's got a long way to go as well to be recognised. It's – you know, I was even listening the other day how, you know, as soon as you have a mental health problem, that's a clause that they'll put in any insurance policy, and you're pretty much missed out, even though they promote this for people to come forward with mental health. As soon as you're seeing a psychologist, that's the end of your insurance, basically, in that respect, or having chances with them. And that's only one area of some of the issues that we still have, of course, and we won't get into that. But how did you recognise yourself, like, of course, you said earlier in relation to the labour force and that, but also across the entire sector, that this was something that the, especially within the, well, it's across all sectors, but within the mining and construction sector, how did you see that moving into that at the time?
A great question. My whole philosophy was really about prehabilitation rather than rehabilitation. So lots of organisations have the mindset of, you know, when someone's buggered, we'll send them to the EAP, or we'll have you know, someone come in every now and then to have a chat about mental health to tick a box. But my whole philosophy is to have prehabilitation, so to be able to have organisations embrace this as their culture and have wellbeing as part of their I suppose, business model, to be able to sit in alongside health and safety primarily to keep people physically and mentally well in the workplace. And you know, I help educate team leaders to be able to introduce wellbeing, to be able to have that sort of on a daily basis where people can sort of see that's the foundation of their role and responsibility with the company and know that they're cared for. And a big thing about guys in the workplace is being made feel safe. I just think a lot of guys and a lot of the injuries and psychological injuries and that we have is because we don't feel protected and safe and valued in the workplace a lot of the time. So if we can have an employer embrace strategies which enhance that, I think that goes a long way to the individual's health and happiness in the workplace, but inevitably the performance, the outcomes that come with the performance and production.
Well, you said there in relation to it, it's got to sort of come from the top down, and so with their leaders and the leadership within it, and that's some of the workshops that you do with the leaders, and then hopefully they bring it into the workforce where they can have these discussions with the men. So what's sort of the advice there, and women that is, what's his advice there that you do give to leaders, and how do they end up bringing that into the workforce?
Yeah, I have conversations with guys and women also one-on-one every week. So to be able to make sure their own well-being is checked and any imbalance that they've got in their life, to be able to give them strategy on how to move through that or how to, you know, find that balance if they are, you know, getting stressed or they're off center a little bit, you know, why is that happening? And then to be able to bring some interventions in place to do that. So, you know, companies that are actually investing in this and supporting their leaders get a tremendous return on investment there, because basically that leader is kept coherent, but also give that leader strategies on how he can deliver those values back down into his team. So through that, the toolbox is one part of it. We also do things with peer support. So to be able to have that individual be able to speak openly and honestly with his team and individuals within his team and have real-life conversations about how are you going, you know, once a week with everyone that's around them, to be able to just not, you know, utilise their role as a performer, but also utilise their role as a heart-based leader and actually really care and provide empathy for individuals, to be able to have an open door policy to speak to them, but also to make time to speak to them, you know, on a weekly basis. So I think it's really important. It's a missing link in leadership, which I believe we're starting to address here, which has been tremendous.
And you said earlier in relation to early 2000s and so forth that you recognise some of the issues with your mental health, which in the game right now, we're in 21, of course, and, you know, that's fairly early on. So what have you seen change or acceptance within some of the mental health issues from when you first started doing this to today?
Well, certainly back then it wasn't even discussed at all. You know, if someone wasn't turning up for work or they were having sick days, they would be judged for that, but no one would actually recognise that there may be something, you know, wrong above the shoulders, or there might be something going on in that individual's life, and to be able to support them. So the biggest thing is to be able to be aware of that, primarily to say that if someone is, you know, not behaving a certain way or not performing a certain way or not turning up or whatever that may be, that there may be something wrong, and actually to be able to recognise that without judgment and criticism and comparison and those sorts of things. So to be able to see things evolve in that space over the last, you know, 10, 15 years, probably last 5 years, to be honest, that the things have started to change there. But so the awareness around anxiety and depression, which are very real, you know, the human mind will take us to the past and the future consistently. And if we're out of balance and we're stressed, then that's going to happen more and more. So it's really important to be able to provide people where they can, tools so they can actually manage their nervous system and be aware of their nervous system as being a real thing, so they can, you know, get that balance back in their lives. And that's the next step, you know. So we have come a long way over the last 5 years, you know, maybe the last 10 or 15, but definitely in the last 5 years, to be able to recognise things. Now it's a great moment in time to be able to put, you know, functional strategies in place where we can manage our people smarter, with more care and compassion, because the way the world's changed, you know, over the last 2 years it's changed dramatically, but over the last 5, 10, 20 years, with all the digital domination and so forth that comes in, we're getting distracted more and more. So to be able to help people, you know, with those tools and solutions to be able to stay more balanced and grounded, I think is the next step. To have organisations really focus on, you know, doing things which are going to help the employee inside and outside the workplace and really care about them, I believe is what's needed in society. And the employers that embrace that are going to be the ones that retain their people. They won't want to leave. You know, the money is one side of things which dominates the construction and mining industry. But if you can show a real coherence with your team and to be able to, you know, value them and keep them feeling safe and supported, then the ideology of them leaving for financial gain is going to diminish more and more.
Okay, well, the business Outback Mine, you provide practical advice and self-managed solutions. Before we get on to some of those solutions, could you give us an example of some of the issues that you've come across, even a single individual example, of course, without naming anybody? But what's one of those issues that a lot of people would recognise? Well, not one, there'll be a number of issues. of one of your two of your clients that some of our listeners may be able to recognise either in themselves or with even people that they work with?
Yeah, good question. Certainly, like you see it often. I've got the ability now to be able to be amongst a group and be able to identify the people there that are a little bit off balance. There's certain signs within individuals and the way they behave and their comments and so forth, which can really lead towards those an episode of anxiety or depression or whatever that may be in their lives, and be able to ask the appropriate questions which can help reset that, I think are really important. We have mental health first aid and those sorts of strategies in place, which are great, but there's also other levels of education and awareness that you can bring in, which can help individuals identify, you know, problems within people.
So what are those signs?
Yeah, so if someone's speaking about someone else primarily with judgment, with complaining about, you know, the workplace or not really being structured with their comments and conversations, can usually lead to, I suppose, observations of something going on in their lives. So to be able to sort of, you know, recognise that and drill down on that with the individual, to have one-on-one conversations with the individual. If you do find that someone is maybe not so much acting out but behaving a little bit more aggressively, or their mood is low, when their moods are low, you'll get signs like judgments and so forth, and feelings of noticing worthlessness, so episodes of worthlessness and people sort of being self-critical about themselves. So to be able to recognise that and just ask, you know, individuals how they're going, this is where the team leader stuff works really well, because the self-doubt comes in consistently when someone is, you know, stressed. That stress will lead them into a feeling of uncertainty and depression and self-doubt and so forth as well. But if it's not arrested, then you'll find that these sorts of things can escalate and get deeper and deeper and worse eventually if we're not really able to recognise them and start to put interventions in place to be able to redirect that.
And what are some of the self-managed solutions that you help some of these people implement within their own lives?
Yeah, so to be able to like manage the nervous system, for guys in general, we have cortisol, which some people listening may be aware of, which is, you know, quite escalated in the mornings with some of us guys, or a lot of us guys. So to be able to do practices like meditation and some yoga postures and some exercise, which can help bring that cortisol back into a certain level through proper breathing practices by using your physical body, but also doing things and providing meditation practices which are practical and easy to learn for the individual, so they can develop that on a daily basis, will bring them back into balance again, to be able to support that individual through that process, so they're actually being able to do it with someone walking the path with them, I think is really important. It's very difficult for someone to make change. Very few do it with autonomy. If they can get some support, and usually some of the individuals that I do work with, it's completely confidential, so the company will give me a call and they'll ask me to work with someone one-on-one within that particular workplace if they are actually a bit concerned about them. So we do that as well. But so those strategies where they're actually like having self-care time on a daily basis are really important. You know, most of us are waking up and we're being put in fear straight away. We're turning the radio or the TV on. We're having a coffee. We're in stimulation, you know, pretty much from the first half an hour of our day. So we need to make sure we're getting grounded and doing things which keep us grounded. So before work, during work and after work, so we're not sort of, you know, getting into that tension mode and looking for booze at the end of the day to be able to manage the nervous system, which a lot of us fall in the trap of actually doing.
Yeah, I find it interesting with what you just said there. With you said people in the morning, they'll turn on the news, and of course, news is based on fear. And no matter what anybody wants to say there, it is based on fear. It does run on fear, and social media is part of that as well. So part of the program is also for people to really manage their media and what they're putting into their lives, and do they really need to put those messages into their daily life?
That's right. So it's really building self-awareness, to be able to build resilience, so they're actually doing things or taking in things that nourish them physically and mentally. And a lot of what we talk about is food, and You know, when the body's in digestive distress, your mental coherence will be out of balance. So when you're in a digestive cycle, you may not be thinking as clearly, be able to put things in your body that they're digesting a lot easier, and the right combinations of foods and those sorts of things which keep your digestive system working well will help your mental health. And it's something that's not discussed and talked about in modern society much at all. You know, the less things that we can do that stimulate us, the more things that we can do that keep us grounded and balanced will help our mental well-being at the end of the day. And they're the sorts of conversations that we have with people to be able to, you know, raise their consciousness and self-awareness, which can give them autonomy and start to empower them to live more, you know, aware, conscious, connected lives.
And how have you seen some of this work for people, especially within the sector, the resource, the construction sector, with going into companies? What's some of the outcomes that you've managed to achieve?
Certainly, like looking at the challenges that individuals have from the ground up to start with, you know, so to get to know an individual first and foremost is really important. I'm not someone that goes in and tells people what to do. I ask them what they need, you know, where are they struggling, what are the areas in their lives that they want to try and improve, and then to be able to work from there. So, you know, if they're stressed, why are they getting stressed? Some of the things that are in their life that are getting in the road, which are escalating that stress that they may not be aware of. So to be able to look at that and look at small things that you can start to strip away and move out of their daily lives and their daily routines, to be able to put more nourishing interventions in place which can help them. So looking at those sorts of things are really important. As far as the teams are concerned, so when we do workshops with teams, it's about giving guys and women an awareness around how to set your day up. Like, you know, what is your day looking like? How is it going throughout your working day? What are the things that are getting in your way which are making you stressed and anxious and so forth? And how can we manage that better? And they're the conversations that end up going back to decision makers and team leaders about being more proactive about managing their people in the workplace as well. So it's more of a holistic approach on, you know, what are the challenges that are being faced and how they can be sort of managed a bit more smartly, which supports the individual's well-being rather than keeping them stressed. And you know what, Karen, like the conversations that I get from people that would be, you know, maybe 6 or 7 out of 10 that say they're not sleeping well because they're stressed about work, they can't switch off, and that's still really, really common. So, you know, to be able to provide people with wind-down solutions that they can use towards the end of the day so they can settle their nervous system, not looking at a device like a lot of people do or a TV while they're trying to settle their mind. Just little things that they can build into their lives which help their routine and help their body and brain work a bit more coherently rather than sort of working against each other.
Okay, well, thanks very much for joining us. We're actually at the end of the podcast, Aaron. For those who would like to know a little bit about yourself, you're also a author as well. So if anybody wants to learn more about Aaron, he's got a book called A Wink from a Guru, which is about himself as well. And but if people do want to get in contact with you, how can they do that?
Best is the website's outbackmind.com.au and the email is support@outbackmind.com.au. Yeah, very happy to have a chat with the individual or with employers about what we can do to help them out.
Okay, thanks very much for joining us today.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast interview series with Kira Moran from Resource Industry Media. To find out more about the resource and construction industry, including past podcasts, news and events, go to resourceindustrymedia.com.au.